welcome to Red Ice Radio, new and regular listeners. It's great to have you with us. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Henrik Palmgren. Our website is redicecreations.com. Go there for more information about our radio program and, of course, follow along in our frequently updated news about all the things that we consider to be interesting and important. On our website, you can also find videos, webcasts, films, and other video interviews. Check out our members area as well for much more of that. And today we have journalist Sandy Frost with us on the line, and we are going to talk about the Royal Order of Jesters. This is a branch or a group that is associated with the Shriners, who are, of course, connected with Freemasonry. You might recall an article that we had up on our website not too long ago about the bizarre activities of the Jesters, including routinely hiring prostitutes for gatherings, sex competitions, and degrading initiation rites for new members. And this was mentioned in an article, in the article from Buffalo News, actually. And it continued, just going to read a little bit more from it here. It said, the case against the three Buffalo area Jesters is wrapping up with sentencing expected soon. Federal agents have expanded their investigations and are looking into allegations that illegal activities occurred at outings sponsored by more of the Jesters' 191 chapters. The local man who pleaded guilty in the Buffalo case and others have cooperated with the feds, providing information about Jesters' events in other cities. And Sandy has, of course, been looking into a non-profit organization for quite some time, and she's been writing on her website about the Jesters and the Shriners as well. And you can check this out, of course, by going to her website. Simply type in sandyfrost.newswine.com, and that will get you a whole lot more information about Sandy, about some of the things that she's been writing about. But, of course, we are going to go through this together with Sandy from the top, if you will, here today. So with that, welcome to Red Ice Radio, Sandy. It's great to have you with us today.
Oh, it's great to be here. Your website is great, and I love your vision. I love your program's direction. It's very, very exciting.
Thank you very much for mentioning that, Sandy. It's great to have you here. Thank you again for spending some of your time with us. Tell us a little bit about this then, when you first started writing about the Jesters. This recent Buffalo news story that I read about was published around May 5th, I think, and this is the first time that it's gone, the article stated that it's gone national, as it were, now. But this has been brewing under the surface and locally for quite some time, I think. But when did you get involved in all of this, Sandy?
Well, I had written a manuscript for an international magazine, and I submitted it, and I was told in February of 08 it wasn't going to run until October, and I didn't want that kind of lag time. So intuitively, I published the first ever article written about the Royal Order of Jesters on Friday, February 15th, and I was contacted. And on March 6th, I wrote and published Jesters to Testify About Illegal Drugs and Child Prostitution. And as if that was not bad enough, then about a month later, Dan Herbeck of the Buffalo News did write an article about how Judge Tills resigned his job because he was this central figure in an FBI probe. And all of this happened within about a month, which is, extraordinary synchronicity.
Hmm. Tell us a little bit more about that. And then you said this is a judge, of course, that his name was Tills.
Yes.
And did you, are you in any regard local to this area? So you've been, have been knowing what has been going on, or has, have you done this remotely, so to speak?
This is like a little command center, and I love the internet. I can get into the federal court system. Their document system is called PACER, and I'm able to get into the PACER system. And what really shocked me the most was when I got into PACER and discovered an FBI application for arrest warrants of the woman, Len Hua Chong, who was operating four massage parlors in Buffalo, New York, as fronts for prostitution. And it was through the wiretapping of this woman that they overheard her talking to the judge and to the police captain who was also caught, John Trowbridge. And he was just sentenced last week for violating the Mann Act. So in Pacer, you know, I just stumbled across this document. And that is where I found the wiretap snippets of the judge calling and saying, I'm going to be over. And then she'd call one of her massage parlors and say, you know, the judge is on his way and, you know, be good to him. It was crazy.
I have no idea that this was out and available on the internet. So this has nothing to do with like the Freedom of Information Act or something like that. This is just available for anyone.
Right. You get a Pacer account. I think it's 8 cents a page. And this is how I was able, in the other case of the fishing tour operator who took those 19 jesters down to Brazil on their fishing trip. In that case, that was a defamation case between two fishing tour operators. I was able to find the depositions of four little Brazilian girls who were being went to the Brazilian federal police as they were investigating the abuse of minors in certain areas of the Amazon by North Americans.
Really? No. Huh.
Yeah, and that was very tough to read because these girls went, and of course they were scared. They were lured off their Indian reservations in Brazil, told that they were going to fish, you know, help with the fishing boat, cook, clean. And when they got there, they were tricked to find out that they were going to be prostitutes for these North American fishermen.
How about that? And why do you think that the Buffalo News doesn't write about this? Because, okay, it's bad enough what they write about, right? These sex parties, prostitutes, sex contests or whatever it is. That some of these members have been involved with. But why do you think that they don't touch upon the child prostitution and things like that?
I think that's going to become international. I believe that, well, you're actually the first media to actually help me break this news because the man, the Richard Scherer, the fishing tour operator who did take the 19 jesters down, was indicted by Brazilian authorities at the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow, I believe the Brazilian police or Brazilian federal police are going to be announcing this indictment in terms of a government-wide investigation into prostitution networks, child sex tourism, and possibly pedophilia.
And for many people who have been following alternative news and some of these awful stories about prostitution rings and child abuse and so forth, know that this has been going on for a long time. There's people like Ted Gunderson who has exposed this. There's another writer who I forget the name of now, who actually wrote a book in, and she was from Brazil, I think, and she wrote a book about these. I'm going to bring this article up later on, and so I can mention the name for people who are listening. But what do you think that this will lead to, so to speak? Do you think that this will lead to a bigger rings being exposed, or do you think it will keep within the, how should I put it, circumference of things just related to the jesters?
Both. As far as I'm concerned, at this point, I believe that there are United States as well as Brazilian authorities looking at joint targets of interest associated with Richard Scherer, the fishing tour operator. And what that's going to mean is I believe that those 19 jesters who were named on the defense's witness list, they were expected to testify about their firsthand knowledge of drug use and child sex prostitution and prostitution down there. This goes back to the Buffalo case. And I know it's a little bit convoluted and confusing. If I can just back up a little bit.
Sure. Go ahead, Sandy.
Remember, the Buffalo case involved the FBI catching a judge, a retired police captain, and the judge's law clerk, who is also a former prosecutor, in an FBI human trafficking sting. So Judge Tills is now the only one waiting to be sentenced. The other two were sentenced.
Mm-hmm.
And their sentencing involves, they're now felons. They're put on probation, and they're supposed to register with the New York State Sex Offender Registry. And apparently those two who've been sentenced have not done that yet. So Judge Tills, he was supposed to be sentenced May 7th, last week, and his sentencing was extended because according to a transcript that I have here of a hearing that he had before the judge, the transcript says that he's providing proactive cooperation with the unlawful transportations of individuals for prostitution, but that includes sex trafficking, sexual exploitation of minors, or any international travel for that purpose. So I think that we're going to see an intersection of these two cases, and I don't know when.
Okay, that's very interesting. I just want to go back quickly as well. The woman that I told briefly about is actually from Mexico, not from Brazil, but again, you might be familiar with her. I think her name is Lydia Caucho, if I pronounce that name correctly.
Yes, I've written to her. I've not heard back from her, but I wrote to her, yes.
Okay, so, you know, again, this paints this awful, awful story of what actually is going on. And as I mentioned, many researchers have been looking into this, and it seems to be global. It has ties up into the elite branches of you know, society. And again, if we just go back and tie this together with the gestures again, I know that from the Buffalo News story, there was one account from someone who called himself Edwards, says it was a farmer in his 60s.
Said Johnny Edwards, right.
Johnny Edwards.
I know Johnny. He's great.
Okay. Well, tell us about him. He dropped off, I guess, then from the gestures back in the, what was it, 98, I think?
Well, he quit the gestures, but he was also kicked out of the Shriners. One of the more disillusioning aspects of the Shriners that I've learned about is this incredible retaliation with which they go after people who ask questions. My two original sources, the Shriner whistleblower and a former IRS agent, were sued for defamation. Mm-hmm. And I was named as a secondary party of interest in the lawsuit because the Shriners are vicious.
All of them are just a few who, I guess.
The leaders. There's something very unusual going on with them. And I believe that when we look at the Shriner leadership, they translate also into the Royal Order of Jesters. They're joint boards of directors. The majority of those people are also members of the Royal Order of Jesters.
Yes, and maybe we can talk about how that works a little bit if you're familiar with it. What I've read up on so far is that basically you can only be let into the Jesters by invitation. You can't apply for it, and you have to be at least, what did it say now? Back from, let's see, I'm going to bring this information up here again. Yeah, here it is. Until 2000, before being eligible for membership in the Shriners, a person had to complete either the Scottish Rite or York Rite degrees of Freemasonry, but now any Master Mason can join. And of course, you have to be a Shriner before you can join the Jesters. Is that right?
Exactly. Good work.
Yeah.
You said it better than I could.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks. But what do you think? Because again, if we go back to this article, there's a few of these eyewitnesses or testimonies from another one called Malcolm Mutt Herring. He's 90 years old, live in Montgomery, right. Alabama, I think it is, and said, I quit because I don't drink and I don't mess around with other women other than my wife. Going to one of their events was like going to a whorehouse, he said. And he suspects that this is going on in other branches of the Royal Order of Justice as well, not only locally to the Buffalo area. What do you think?
Well, not only does Mutt Herring say that, but this is the opinion of the United States U.S. attorney out of Buffalo. They've described the Royal Order of Jesters as a group nationwide that has members throughout their chapters, which are called courts. They're like court jesters. So they're in the jester courts. The U.S. attorney has written that most of the courts have a guy in the court who gets the women for their weekend parties.
Hmm. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty strong when you have the United States attorney saying that. So at this point, I think that what we're seeing is an unraveling. This is just the beginning. And once this Brazilian indictment matches up with the investigation in Buffalo, I think, I don't know if you have a bad word button here, but I think the shit's really going to hit the fan. And
that's
I think it's going to happen within the next 30 days.
Hmm. Do you think that there will have to be some kind of, well, it has to be some kind of international cooperation here then in regards to, do you know, yes, if they can be tried under international law, or is it going to be either within U.S. or Brazilian law? How, do you know?
I believe it'll be both. I think that there are going to be indictments in both in the United States and with Buffalo also.
Mm.
Or Brazil.
Brazil. Oh, yeah, well, exactly, Brazil. How about the gestures in general? Have you been researching a lot about what you know, what some of the rituals are? Have you digged into their connections with, for instance,
right,
Freemasonry and so forth? Or what can you say about that?
Right. There are on their website, they do, they're very proud of the fact that they are Masons. And in some of my articles, I'm not sure which one, but I do have links to the rituals, the Book of the Play. There's a thing called the Rose Ceremony, which is for when one of them dies. And the Book of the Play is supposedly Shakespearean. My first article, Jesters Exposed, talked about something really boring, and it's tough for me because my, what really excites me is the nonprofit corruption. I'll spend hours and days and months reading tax returns, and it's crazy. Hmm. In fact, one of the tax returns for the National Royal Order of Jesters indicates that they spent nearly $600,000 on one of their weekend parties.
Oh my, that's quite a lot.
That's 12 grand a minute.
Yeah. Oh. Mm.
And when you think about them going down to a foreign country and exploiting, tearing apart families, you know, 12,000 a minute, 12,000 a year down there would be absolutely huge.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's crazy. This is an elitist group of people who believe that they're rich and powerful, and they think they can do these horrific crimes, the human trafficking, the sex slavery, the prostitution network, the child sex tourism, and possibly the pedophilia once we find out what's coming out of Brazil. These men expect to do these things and have their brothers protect them, which is part of their Masonic code.
Hmm.
Part of their promises is, you know, let's say you and I are in the same little club, and I would swear that I would lie to protect you at any cost. And that's what these guys have going for them. And that's crazy.
Yeah. Just rewatching Inside the Brotherhood, a documentary that we had up on the website a while back as well. And this is written by Short. Let's see here. What's his first name? Is it Richard Short? I'll bring this up in a minute. And he, of course, as well, talked about the many Freemasons could both be convicted criminals and police at the same time, which is kind of interesting situation when you think of it. What overrides what? Some people say, no, these are good police officers and even judges. They prosecute people no matter what they are. Some people say that it's bound to lead to corruption and so forth. So this is a very, very tricky area. But also, if we can talk a little bit more about the jester. This is, of course, a specific kind of order that I guess themselves say that their pursuit is of mirth and merriment in that sense. And I know even that some Freemasonic groups on the surface had said that they don't consider the jesters to be kind of a legit Masonic order. What do you have to say about that?
Well, they've got to be a legitimate Masonic order because they've got to be legitimate Masons to be in the Jesters, to be in the Shriners, and to be the Masons. So if people want to deny the linear family tree down from Masonry, I think that argument, you know, won't hold much water.
Hmm.
But the getting back to the Masonic promises, here it says they swear to you must conceal all crimes of your brother Masons, and should you be summoned as a witness against a brother Mason, be always sure to shield him. It may be perjury to do so, it is true, but you're keeping your obligations.
Hmm.
And they can tell each other anything, and there are only two crimes that they will break this vow on, and one is murder and one is treason. And hmm. That's it. Otherwise, if anything else goes.
Okay. Hmm. How about that?
So, and, you know, and you're precisely correct, because these are people in position of power.
Yes, I know there's a few places, and again, we can mention from the Buffalo News article again that the Jesters, a 90-year-old nationwide fraternal group whose past members have included movie stars, judges, prominent businessmen, and two presidents. I think it's Ford, and who was the other president involved in that as well?
Truman, I think.
What? That's right. It was Truman. That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there you have it. It's top branches, as it were, and it's by invitation only. And what about the what can we call it the actor, right? The little semi-god of the Royal Order of Jesters. What do you know about that?
Oh, the Billiken?
Yeah.
He's copyrighted at a university somewhere, and the online version of the Billiken has, it looks like he blinks his eyes, and at the same time his I don't know, his penis pops up and down, and it's this little naked fat guy with blinking eyes, and his penis is popping up and down, and you know, he symbolizes mirth and merriment and whatever. The most shocking thing, I believe, is that somehow these jesters sold this idea to somebody at the IRS. These guys are a non-profit group. So what we have here is a non-profit group who parties with prostitutes, some minor, you know, some underage, at taxpayer expense. And I think that's why this should catch everybody's eye and shock everybody. Because when, for example, when they built this huge million-dollar headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, the Royal Order of Jesters, supposedly to house a museum, and when they went to get their property tax exemption, the property assessor says, well, it really doesn't look too much like a museum to me. So they denied it, and they appealed, and then they went, the Royal Order of Jesters National went on to tell the tax assessor, well, we're an appendant group of Masonry, so they got that. They got that then.
Do you think that this is common in a sense that they're hiding behind that guise of being a nonprofit organization, and that gives them both legal and, of course, financial benefits?
Yes, yes, to possibly include the personal benefit. Let's say I am a member of a court of one of these guys who went to Brazil. Well, if I donate to that court and take the deduction from my taxes as a tax-exempt contribution, and the court pays for my trip, then, you know, the guy gets to take the deduction. The Royal Order of Jesters gets to take the deduction. And so when they don't pay their taxes, we make up for the for them not paying for their taxes.
How about that? And, you know, the president of the Jesters, Gary N. Martin, he says in the article again that, yeah, of course, I mean, what else is he going to say, right? But he says he's disturbed about the allegations. But Martin said that to his knowledge, such conduct is extremely isolated and never condoned by the organization. Is there anything you can say about that?
Yeah, I never had sex with that woman. You bet. Absolutely. See, this is the problem. And I believe this is why the Jesters is such a burden, such a problem for the Shriners, because Gary Ann Martin is also on the Board of Governors for the Mexico Shriners Hospital. And so they have conflicted interests. And when they're supposed to be running the hospitals, you know, are they busy thinking about their next weekend party? It's just this hypocrisy, because essentially those jesters are actually hiding behind burned and crippled children and using them to say, oh, I'm such a good guy, I'm doing all this stuff, and so I'm invited to join this jesters thing. And I don't even know if I can say this word. It's just a clusterfuck.
Yeah. How about, you know, how do you think a thing like child abuse creeps into an organization like this? And how can it be allowed in there without someone? Well, there have been people, of course, dropping off all the time. That's what we've been talking about here. And they fed up with it and don't want to be associated with it anymore, hence quitting. But do you have any idea or theory about how that can creep in, and maybe even how far back it goes? Do you have an idea?
Well, I have a theory, and this is just a theory, because there is a secret another secret subgroup of the Royal Order of Jesters called the Sobib. And so what I believe you're talking about is the possibility of ritualistic sexual abuse of children. Hmm. And I'm not sure what the Sobib is, but it stands for Secret Order of Brothers in Blood. And I have a link in one of my articles on my Newsvine site to the actual directory. And, in fact, Judge Tills was a member of the Sobib, as are some, I think Gary Martin maybe also, I'll have to check. Hmm. And at one point, Ralph Sem, the head of the Shriners Hospital Board of Governors, he's listed in the Sobib directory also. So what is this? I believe that what actually we're possibly looking at is maybe the colonial mindset that goes back to the roots of Freemasonry. Because what did our founding fathers do? Essentially, I'm Native American, mm-hmm. and essentially those who came from Europe were at one point European illegal aliens in our nation. And so they came over here and just took and killed and I believe to a great degree committed a genocide against Native Americans. And so it's this mindset of manifest destiny. I can do what I want. My brothers are going to protect me. And in fact, in Europe, I'm sure you're very familiar with efforts for certain governments, police, elected officials, that there are efforts to make it mandatory that they disclose if they are Freemasons.
Hmm.
Because their jobs are compromised. If they arrest someone and they're a Mason, then they get preferential treatment.
Ah, okay. So it goes back potentially to that idea of blackmail again, that you might not even be able to ascend to a position within the quote unquote the elite here without actually doing some kind of act like
dirty
this.
Dirty deeds done cheap, right?
Right. Huh. And do you think that's common across the board at this point?
Boy, it sure looks like it.
It does, doesn't it?
Sure looks like it to me. Yeah, I believe, in fact, this jester thing, I believe that we may find members of the United States Congress who are also jesters. I know that there's a deputy director I believe that the deputy director of the Louisiana Law Enforcement Commission is a jester. The 19 jesters who were called as witnesses out of the Brazilian fishing trip, one of them was a regional planner out of Florida. These guys are doctors, dentists, business owners. In fact, in Brazil, on that trip, some of these guys were fathers and sons.
Mm-hmm.
Fathers and sons going down. And from the depositions of the fishing tour guides, they said these jesters asked, in fact, to be called Masons, and that they asked for girls over 13. Hmm. So I don't know if you have a little sister or know anybody who has little girls between, 13 to 18 or 16, and their lives are ruined. In the depositions of the girls who gave the testimony to the Brazilian federal police, a little 13-year-old girl said she was left pregnant by a North American tourist. So it's not clear whether they were discussing actually the Royal Order of Jesters in their depositions, but they did mention a man named Richard came to take them illegally off their Indian reservations. So this is horrific.
Absolutely. I'm reminded a little bit of when you tie this back to the Native Americans. We had, I don't know if you heard about him, you probably have, Kevin Annette on the program a while back. He's done a documentary called Hidden from History, Canada's Genocide, which absolutely talks about
yes.
this. He comes from this from a perspective that this has been primarily run from the church that came into the region of Canada. But again, it shows the same. It's a mix between violence, sexual abuse, and different kinds that is being done on Native American children,
Yes, exactly. And in this case, what I'm seeing is these men seem to be targeting women of color. And that's a sore spot for me, because the illegal alien prostitutes that those who were caught in Buffalo were taking to their weekend prostitution parties, they were Asian.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the little Brazilian girls who you know, are Indians in Brazil, and the Shriners have a case in their Chicago hospital of two Latina women suing the Shriners for employment discrimination. And I'm just going, well, you know, do I dare you use the word misogyny? You know, really, Henrik, what this seems to me, and I think that, you know, from what I read about your website and yourself, you may be really excited to be able to understand this, is that these groups are out of balance.
Of course.
And if we look at the Native American symbol of the medicine wheel, which has the four directions and the four colors, and each direction could also stand for mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional health. If one of those directions is out of balance, the wheel is not going to roll, and you're not going to have healthy behavior. And clearly, these are not healthy behaviors.
That's right. And kind of in a weird kind of way, I mean, even the four directions symbol is even present within some Freemasonic lodges, you know, in regards to the four directions of north, west, east, and south, and so forth. And some of these symbols I can see actually are correlated, but it seems to be very much still, as you mentioned, very much unbalanced, and many of these symbols and ideas are not incorporated into the teachings. And again, I mean, where do you draw the line, or do you even draw the line? Do you still think that there is good Freemasonic organizations out there that actually do good, or do you consider them all to be rotten at this point, or have this network that we're talking about infiltrated themselves into all of these organizations? What do you think about that?
One of the things that I've made very, very clear in my writing is that this gesture organization and the shrine leadership that is proving to be corrupt in so many ways are the bad apple that spoils the bunch.
Right.
For the most part, the Shriners, and again, from a Native American point of view, we should honor our elders, and I'm sure it's true in your culture. You honor your elders. You honor the grandfathers and the grandmothers. And grandfathers should not be exploited. And one of the things that has driven me in this investigation is how so many hardworking Shriners, these guys, Henrik, they devote their lives. They're in their 60s and 70s. They will devote their weekends and their lives to raising money to help the burned and crippled children.
Mm-hmm.
They put on their clown makeup. They drive hundreds and thousands of miles to get patients back and forth to the hospitals. These guys have had the wool pulled over their eyes. They have been lied to. As far as the Royal Order of Jesters is concerned, I see no good coming out of that group. None. I believe that it's going to be exposed as a nationwide prostitution network eventually, and we're gonna see. It's going to be huge. You're going to be reading the international headlines, going, "Oh, I remember when we talked about this."
Well, you know, in one sense, it's reason to laugh in that regard, in regards to the joy that has felt over that this is being exposed and talked about and brought up to the surface, as it were. But again, it's no laughing matter. And do you think that,
right,
you know, these child prostitution rings, do you think that it's an international network pretty much at this point? It's across the world, and it can't possibly even be another type of network, so to speak, that actually just selling people, children, and so forth, to different groups, organizations, or even individuals that have this particular perversion. And one of them, in this case, happens to be a few of these people that we've been mentioning about in regards to the jesters. What do you think?
Well, you're touching on something that I have found in Europe, particularly, I think, out of
Belgium.
Great Britain.
Okay.
In terms of a Masonic a possible or alleged or perceived link between Freemasonry and pedophilia. I can send you a link of a judge who was looking into pedophilia links to the British government, and he was killed. And so if we look at this mindset of these men being above the law, and doing these kinds of crimes and expecting their brothers to take care of them, of course, you know, we go up the family tree and we take a look at the mindset of certain Masons. My dad was a Mason, and there are good men in Masons and in Shriners, Scottish Rite, all the appendant organizations. But there seems to be a little clique or an elite group of those who think that they're above the law and their brothers are going to protect them. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing here, that the retired police captain, the judge, and his law clerk are in fact being thrown under the bus, like you said, when you quoted Gary Martin as saying, oh, this doesn't happen and I have no idea, blah, blah, blah. But then on the other hand, the U.S. attorney is saying, yeah, these guys have guys all over the whole country who get girls for the weekend. Hmm. So again, it's that kind of, you know, I think that the Jester spokespeople are just kind of buying some time to see what's going to happen, and they're looking over their shoulder, and I think that pretty soon, you know, you're going to hear that knock on the door, and these guys are going to see a unmarked car out front. They're going to have someone, MIB, come up and say, you know, we're going to take you away for questioning.
MIB being the Men in Black, or
yeah, I right, mean, right. You know, or GIB, Girls in Black, you know, but I mean, this is right now. I would expect that, after reading that application for the arrest warrant and the wiretapping, if these guys think that they can destroy emails or scrub their hard drives or things like that, you know that they can't.
Sure.
You know that those things are on the servers. And at this point, it's too late. It's way too late. I don't know for sure if there have been wire intercepts between any of these gestures or anything else. But I will predict that the gestures in Buffalo who were caught took illegal alien prostitutes to Kentucky, Pennsylvania, yeah, and Florida. Mm-hmm. They also, according to Judge Tills' plea agreement, he took prostitutes to Canada and cooperated with national officers to do so. So I guess that would make it international.
That's right. Well, exactly. That's all it takes, pretty much. Do you think that after this point, we might also see a schism, if you will, the Freemasonry or the, you know, the accepted orders, if you will, want to try to get themselves away from the jesters or something like that?
Boy, I sure hope so. I have called the Grand Lodge of New York over and over. You know, what do you guys think? These people, your brothers, are now felons. They're being sentenced for these crimes, and oh yeah, well, we'll get back to you and on all of this. And I'm being stonewalled, and the Shriners do that to me too. I try and get the other side of the story.
Yeah.
You know, in my comment section, I don't know if you've looked in the comment section of my articles, but since I started writing about the Royal Order of Jesters, it's been like hand-to-hand combat. People come in there, and at one point they were trying to figure out how to get my articles offline. And,
really?
And they're saying, oh, yeah. So the consensus, you know, those who care to speak up, they've tried to discredit me and cause me problems and attacking me and all this stuff. And, you know, at first it was difficult. You know, you live online. You have an online website and you get hate mail.
Sure, sure.
You know, and how does that make you feel?
Well, not good, but one needs to manage to shield themselves from this as well. And again, it's a difference between legitimate criticism or kind of an argument or discussion in that sense. But if it's just slander and pointless, you know, bickering, then I don't care about it, you know. So
Right. Well, I've learned to toughen up.
Yeah, you need to do that, I think. And because again, we do want to point out that idea that it's a, you know, Freemasonry have also a responsibility to clean out their own house. They talk a lot about morals of this and that, and you know, they cannot just suspect that people are going to leave them alone in that sense. They always try to pitch the idea that, yeah, we're not a secret society, we're a society with secrets and all this stuff. You hear this stuff, right? But at the same time, that will bring people to the organization, which consequently will want to find out what's going on. You know, that's just the nature of humankind as well. We're curious. We want to find out why are things secret. On the other hand, I don't say that things aren't shouldn't be allowed to be not secret, meaning that on one extent, I agree that people should be able to do what they want in one regard, but if it's hurting other people, if it's, again, illegal activity, then it needs to be brought out. What do you think, Sandy?
Well, you exactly hit on the solution. And since these are nonprofit groups in the United States, I think the IRS, actually, I think it's up to the Senate Finance Committee here to because they oversee the IRS and nonprofit groups. The solution is when one becomes a nonprofit group, they submit rituals, that they submit all of everything so that nothing is secret. Because what we have here, I'm working on another article for the same international magazine, and my lead is, what do you get when you cross secret societies with the IRS? Prostitution parties at taxpayer expense.
Hmm.
So you are precisely right. You're so astute, because the entire problem does deal with the nonprofit classification, and these guys pulling the wool over everybody's eyes, getting tax considerations for partying, mirth and merriment. You know, what is 600 grand for a weekend party? That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and so you are precisely right. And I think from your other question, though, about Freemasonry, I am hoping that a couple things happen. And the problem is, though, that I believe that there are jesters in the highest levels of Masonry also.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, that seems to be the case. And again, you can be, people can be members, and we know this is pretty common. People are members of a lot of different lodges, a lot of different types of orders within Freemasonry. One can be a Shriner, a jester, a Freemason. One can be a member of the OTO, what have you. There's other secret, you know, societies out there in that regard. So, And we could even potentially here be talking about a group of people that are also infiltrating themselves into these types of organizations, because it's a perfect guise to keep things like this secret, because the ritual or the agreement, so to speak, that you take when you go into some of these groups is that you protect the members to all costs and you keep things secret. So it opens up the possibility for potentially sick and perverted people to seek membership into these organizations to continue with their bad behavior.
Sure. And it's that ultimate mindset. In fact, there is bylaws or Shriner laws. There is a statement that says Shrine law does not include the law of the land. And, you know, hello, how can you do that and say that and still be a nonprofit group?
Hmm.
So it
goes back to that idea of maritime law again. Is that it?
I don't know if it's maritime law. It's just their little law that is the Shrine law does not include the laws of the land. And so that's why when somebody in the Shriners say, we'll ask a question, like the two whistleblowers that first contacted me and they were eventually sued, then they are put into kangaroo courts. Johnny Edwards was subject to extremely harsh Shriner disciplinary hearings. In addition to, he also was a jester and left the jesters. In fact, I have an interview with two jesters confirm that email that was out there that talked about the prostitution and the jester parties. And what happens is all these judges and attorneys within the Shriners who are in positions of leadership will convene a court and throw the question asker out. And all Johnny Edwards did was support a black couple who was discriminated against at a Shrine temple. It was horrible. They were called names and he touched and called the worst names of all. And they sued the Shriners. And he said, you know, we shouldn't be doing that at our Shrine temples, treating our employees like that.
Yeah.
And he was kicked out for that.
Hmm.
it's so messed up.
It's messed up, yeah.
You know, oh yeah. Gosh. And in Sweden, What is the picture of Freemasonry there?
Well, I don't know, because I'm interested, of course, but I don't I haven't talked with anyone specifically about Swedish Freemasonry, but I know that a lot of the English and including American guests that we have had on, who have been Freemasons, they've been talking about that Swedish Freemasonry has allegedly been keeping to a lot of the older traditions and been able to maintain the rituals, I guess, in a more traditional way, I think. And that's pretty much, yes, what I know about it so far. But again, there is corruption taking place, and there was a documentary a while back. It was actually a Norwegian documentary which talked generally about Freemasonry in Scandinavia, and it portrayed similar corruption. It came a little bit from the Christian theological point of view, but it was still very, very good and pointed out very similar things in regards to corruption. And there were a few people, whistleblowers, who had jumped off and began questioning Freemasonry in this round on public Swedish television. So I think in one regard, I think it's very similar across the board, you know, and I don't think that any country at this point have like a totally, innocent society, secret society there anymore. That's what I think.
Right. And I do believe that there are many, many millions of very good men who do uphold the mindset that they want to make themselves better, they want to help the burned and crippled children, and those people need to be given credit, but they also need to be given a voice.
Yeah, sure.
And the problem is that there is no mechanism for dissent or questioning within these organizations, because if you question them, you're thrown out and you're retaliated against in the most vicious manner.
Right, so it's very, very difficult to as you say, ask legitimate questions. And have you thought about like how that can be solved then? Is there some other group then that needs to go in here and break it up, or have access to what actually is going on? Does this need to be rooted out, or what do you think?
Well, I think that ultimately it's going to be up to the IRS. Now, if these groups, the Shriners, Jesters, and you know, I that's really as far as I go. I'm not really ready to be jumping into the Freemasonry investigation, but if they complied with nonprofit law and were honest and filled out their tax returns correctly, none of this would happen.
Yeah.
And so, again, I believe that the Senate Finance Committee needs to jump in here. According to my sources, you're not going to believe this. According to my sources, the Senate Finance Committee has known about this for over a year. And the past with prior to the new Obama administration, the head was Senator Charles Grassley, Republican of Iowa, and in his bio he's a Mason. And so if he ever hears about this radio interview, you know, I'm going to encourage him and Senator Baucus, the head of the Senate Finance Committee, to take some action here, because we're seeing the biggest nonprofit fraud and abuse of our time here.
Yeah, how about that? If we were to give, I guess, as well, a kind of a picture for people in regards to, I always bring up that kind of analogy when we're talking about the elite and possible, sex rings and whatnot, the analogy of what Stanley Kubrick tried to portray in Eyes Wide Shut, but even including in this case minors, right? How would you portray this? Some kind of weird sexual activity, right?
It just sickens me to even think about it, to consider pedophilia, which is what the child sex tourism is. You know that I've written a book, Shriner Shame, and it is an ebook. And one of the organizations that I really support is ECPAT, which is End Child Prostitution. And they're out in New York. And for every book sale, I give $1 to ECPAT. My publisher, Carol Adler at Dandelion Books, and I agreed early on that we needed to do something to support a group who's going to fight these crimes against children. And again, when I asked Carol, I asked her that very question, in fact, and I posed it to her this way. I said, Carol, do these guys think they're doing anything wrong? when they go to a foreign country and they get a little kid, girl or boy, you know, some of these guys do the little boys too, and they do these awful things with them, do they think that they're doing anything wrong? And she said they don't think they're doing anything wrong. They think it's okay. And I'm just going, oh, man. Mm. It's so foreign to me. Again, if you look around in some of the research that I've done into the child sex tourism in the Philippines and Costa Rica, and in fact, Judge Tills and Michael Stebbick, his law clerk, there's a link in some of my articles to many of these documents. I have a link to a Royal Order of Jester calendar, and they had organized a trip to Costa Rica. And Costa Rica is a prime target for child sex tourism. So when remember when I quoted Judge from the transcript of them looking into the sexual exploitation of minors and international travel for those purposes, I'm not sure if that was the Costa Rica situation or the Brazilian situation. But either way, these guys who are described as pillars of the community by Royal Order of Jesters Executive Director Alex Rogers are using this Royal Order of Jester group to take trips out of country to possibly have sex with little kids.
Yeah.
What? How horrible is that?
Yeah. You know.
And your concern is, you are exactly correct in expressing this concern.
Yeah. And what I want to understand as well, and I mean, I guess many people have for the longest time, but do you think it's a disease? It can even be a psychological issue, like a mental disease. Some people have suggested it's the cycle of abuse that keeps this going, meaning that they might themselves actually have been abused and hence continuing this awful trend, if you know what I mean. What do you think at this point?
It could be. One of the things that I did notice in the terms for Judge Tills's release was he had to have alcohol and drug testing and get help.
Mm.
And I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've been, you know, Native Americans, and we don't do very good when we're drinking.
Yeah, right,
and
right,
I've been sober. Yeah. I've been sober 27 years.
Very good.
And so when I read that about Judge Tills, I think that a lot of the question that you just asked may have to do with alcohol, because the jesters and their parties, they drink. They have these wild weekend parties. There are cops who are hired to guard the floors. They have these hospitality rooms where they're showing pornography and having blowjob contests, and they're gambling high stakes poker and drinking and getting snot slinging drunk. And I've written before, I don't care. You know, ultimately, I don't care if you want to drink, if you want to mess around, or you want to gamble your ass off, but don't do so as a nonprofit group.
Yeah.
And now we are looking into the pedophilia things. So I think a lot of it has to do with the alcohol. And as far as Judge Tills is concerned, I have compassion for the man, because I don't know what alcoholism is like in Sweden or anything, but when you're drunk, you do things you're not very proud of. And I think that these guys get not only drunk with alcohol, they get drunk with power and drunk with this strange mindset that they're above the law.
Right.
As far as the psychological aspects goes, I've not really done much, you know, into the sociopathic kind of behaviors. I really can't speak to that.
Right. Well, and it can also be possibly other drugs as well. You mentioned $600,000 per night for one party. That will pay for a lot of drugs as well, other drugs, you know, which
could
mess with your head and so forth. And again, it can even be a possibility here that comes up is actually some kind of misinterpretation of certain magical rituals. For instance, there is, you know, the idea of sex magic. You have different types of rituals going on there as well. And this could have gone completely out of hand at some point, and they have misinterpreted this, and now they're trying to do something with this. I'm just throwing it out there as an idea. I don't know really if you have any input on that, but you know.
Oh, sure. You know, with the pagan traditions, the menzies blood is sacred, and it, as is with Native American societies, women during the moon are sequestered in many Native American groups, not because they're considered dirty, but because they're considered powerful. And somehow that SOBIB, Sacred Order of Brothers in Blood, this sub-jester group, I've tried and tried and tried, and I'm pretty good at finding information and digging, but I can't find out what this SOBIB is. And if anybody's listening, my email is sandyleefrost@yahoo.com. Get a hold of me. I would really like to know what, if this SOBIB is involved with ritualistic or magic sex abuse rituals and rites.
Mm. Sandy, to run things up here for this segment, tell us a little bit about your ebook as well. Can people get a hold of that through your website, or where do we go to get the copy?
If Dandelion Books, Dandelion Publishing, if they Google Sandy Frost and Dandelion Publishing, they'll find my publisher's website, Carol Adler's website, and there is a bar on the left side of the screen with a bunch of names. And so if you go to Shriner's Shame or click on Sandy Frost, you'll read some of the comments that people have said. In fact, Johnny Edwards left a nice comment for me about my book, as have other people. What it is a collection of my articles thus far.
Mm.
And so I don't know. Also, again, a dollar per book sale does go to ECPAT to help fight child prostitution and child trafficking. So I am working on a narrative also that'll be a much different to read. Much of my work, I also have a background as a technical writer. I was in the Navy and went through their advanced electronics program. And so then I worked for a technical writer for quite a while. And so part of my ability is being able to take the extremely technical, the tax returns and other court documents, and explain it in a way that most people can understand it. So...
Okay, so very good. Again, the website is sandyfrost.newswine.com. We'll have these links up on redicecreations.com. Check it out and check out the ebook as well, of course. This will help to put $1 into EPACT, as it were, the End Child Prostitution Organization. Very good to talk with you, Sandy. We'll continue talking more now in our member section, but stay with us. Thank you very much for this first hour. We'll take a short break, and we will be right back. Thank you for listening. You can join us in our member section if you want to hear more. We'll go into the more spiritual side of the work that Sandy's doing, her interest in remote viewing, her Native American roots, and we are also going to talk about the importance of intuition. We'll discuss more on the corruption of some of the non-profit organizations, the mythology of Freemasonry, and some of the possible extraterrestrial ties to the origins of Freemasonry. We'll talk about the male structure and order of things in the world, the phallus symbolism everywhere, and talk about how we can get some of the balance back again. So sign up and tune in through our website, redicecreations.com. Try it out for 3 months. You'll get access to our entire radio archive with extended interviews with many of our guests. We also have video interviews, webcasts, and films available there for you. We'll take a short break and tune into some music, and we'll talk more on the other side.